It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I didn't want to do the show today, to be honest with you. I tried to bow out on the group text. Santiago and I could have gone on a bender. But if you would have said to me, listen, you can sleep in, just put your head under the covers, not do the show today, I would have absolutely taken that route.
Yeah, I wouldn't have allowed you.
You could have been under the covers with me.
Spooning right now.
You wouldn't be spooning. According to these text messages, you'd be on a blackjack table and maybe some naked ladies involved.
We'll see naked ladies.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
And this show, DiPietro Rothenberg, presented by...
on 98.7 ESPN.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie.
All right, just counting down till we're done today. One more hour, DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. I want to be done. I never want to be done with the show today. I can't wait for 8 o'clock.
I can't wait for your pizza podcast. I'm excited.
Will be a good podcast. Unlike RJ, who's going to break down Domino's.
Unlike Dave, who forgot his own name.
And this show, DiPietro Rother, presented by... I didn't and this forget. Show, DiPietro Rother, presented by... I was hustling. You know what it probably was? Here's what it was. This is what I envisioned. You took forever on something you were doing, and I had to make up time, and I just got rid of the Berg. So I just Rothen.
I see.
All right, Rothen.
Cool. All right. This is what I do for you.
That'll be the name on the new pizza podcast.
Rothen's Pizza Pie.
Rothen's Pizza Pie. Oh. Did you know all the cheese is from the same manufacturer? Oh, RJ, what a great stat. Did you know the Dodgers haven't won a game of the 19 wins by one run? Who cares? What a terrible stat
okay.
that is.
Now I see what this is all about.
Of course, because we said something about his ridiculous stat that he set us up to look stupid.
It was a beautiful stat.
You set us up is what you did.
You fell for the bait is what happened.
It was delicious looking bait you set us up with.
Well, listen, I gave you a sardine and you chomped on it. Now you're hooked.
We trusted you. Never again.
John on Twitter says, I think this time slot is getting to Rothenberg ESPN. Let me say that again. Rothenberg ESPN. The early mornings don't give him the time to cope with losses, so he lashes out immediately. I think that's fair.
No, it's not the losses. This is what you do. This is not an isolated incident because the Rangers lost.
No, that's why
what do you mean?
Today.
Last week you called somebody an obnoxious snot for no reason.
Who was that?
I don't know. You're gonna step. You're gonna punch. Step on my head. Stomp me on my head. You're very nasty.
I think it's you, actually. I do. I think you have and I tried to break bread with you yesterday, RJ and Raymond. What you guys don't know is that about. I don't know. I'm thinking like 2 o'clock. I get a phone call, and I see that Rick is calling. And because he's been in such a way that I haven't answered the phone, I haven't returned the call. I was like, you know what? Let me jump right on this one. I answered the call. We have a gorgeous conversation, and still I get no positive will towards me today. You still come after me, you're making fun of the Rangers, being nasty to me, taking shots at my take. So I can't win with you.
It was a terrific phone call. I appreciate
it. It was a beautiful
that.
Phone call.
It was nice. In depth, it was really nice.
It was in depth.
It.
We talked about work. We talked about life. We talked about, I mean, everything you could hope that a phone conversation would lead to, we had.
And you invited me over, which I appreciate, to watch the game.
You're always, well, you would have left quickly, though.
I think that at first.
Yeah, you wouldn't want it to stay.
I didn't want to see that. I can't see you like that.
No. And then Sherry had lacrosse practice. They walk in. What do you want? And they walk in like 2-1, 3-1. And like, what do you want for dinner? I don't care. Serve me feces. I don't care. Or some of the pizza options that RJ brought up. Either one would be great.
Did you know Long Island is not New York? I don't know how many times we have to go over this. It seems to keep circling back. We might need to draw you up a map. And
he forgets.
You.
He never comes out. His poor mother by herself here on Long Island.
Oh, yeah, my poor mother.
You don't even know how to get there.
No idea.
I got bridge options. I go Whitestone. I go Throgs Neck.
Okay, so why don't you go visit your poor mother?
How long is that commute?
I'm over there twice a week, making up for your absence.
Yeah, great. Well, why don't you bring her some pizza, some beautiful Domino's pizza?
maybe I will.
Yeah. I mean, RJ has a wedding gift for someone. He'll probably wind up giving a beautiful...
Domino's gift card?
Yeah. Or Elio's. How about that, RJ? Frozen Elio's pizza?
I did not power rank them. That's where I go.
I did like the bagel bites. You like the bagel bites were tasty, though.
Who doesn't like those bagel bites? Those are delicious.
Those are nice.
So why couldn't you answer the question, then?
What?
Because he's a snob.
Yeah.
That's why, because he's a
snob. You're admitting you've eaten these products. Yeah.
Because he said he was in his feelings about the Dodgers.
That question. I haven't had Domino's in years.
Looks like it.
See? This is abusive.
I was being nice. It doesn't look like you've had Domino's in a while.
No, you weren't being nice. You're never being nice. My giblets are going away. Look at that. Well, you can see right in the Zoom call.
That another one, Rick?
Yeah, I'm going to need that tomorrow as well for Thursday.
Great. You're going to need that tomorrow for the Thursday Open?
I don't know.
That's the one piece of heavy lifting you do. We do 15 hours. You produce 2 minutes of radio.
It's intense 2 minutes of radio.
You know what? It's why he gets the big bucks.
It's like a week in review is what it is.
It's a busy Wednesday, although it's Thursday. Great. Let's
maybe we take a little look ahead to the Open.
Yeah. We're talking about Jordan Montgomery. Like, why are you talking about Jameson Taillon? It's like, you don't pay attention.
Let's get a little look at the traffic.
Everyone's so quick to jump down my throat. Fine. You know what? 8 o'clock today, I go missing.
Babe, angry.
1-800-919-3776. Let's start with what has me in such a mood, and that's the Rangers, Rick. We started the show. We've spent a lot of time on it. It's hard to envision they come back in this series at this point, and they got beaten pillar to post last night, and I think that's what's so embarrassing. You didn't lose 3-2. It wasn't a close game. You were the laughing stock of the NHL last night. That's a horrendous performance.
Wow, you go from 0 to 100 fast. The second period was awful. I don't think we need to start going laughing stock. I don't think that's very nice. But I mean, you got off to a good start
of last night in the NHL. What was more embarrassing than what the Rangers did?
Oh, there wasn't.
Okay. So there you go.
I just don't like the whole laughingstock thing.
They allowed 7 goals. And it's not like you had two empty netters like the game before.
And it should have been more than 7, if we're being completely honest.
They could have scored 9 goals last night.
Like, Georgie came in and actually made some really big saves.
He really did.
No, but what was crazy, I mean, the first period, you got off to a good start, right? Schneider makes a nice pass. The kid line, which was flying again last night, Lafreniere, he buries it. So you got the 1-0 lead. And then another problem in this series has been slowing down the Penguins' power play. So Crosby gets the power play goal that, I mean, it took how long to figure out if that was a goal or not? Finally, they actually showed you, it took intermission for you to actually see the puck, right? Like, you finally got to see the puck go over the line. So that's a good goal. But that was, I mean, Penguins, they had scored at that point, they had 3 of their last 4 power play chances they scored on. So that's not great. You got Adam Fox turning, we're talking about one of the best offensive defensemen in the entire league. Just won the Norris Trophy last year, and he's turning down shots against Louis Domingue, like good, high-quality shots.
Shoot the puck.
Kreider, same thing. Shoot the puck.
This whole series has been, let's be as cute as possible. Like they're going to get style points for goals or something.
Which is amazing to me, because we're going up with Andre Vasilevsky. Like, you're going up against Louis Domingue, and he's played well, I'll give him credit, but still. And then you have the 24-second span where, I mean, they score the 2 goals. I really, honestly, and I'll ask Valley about this, I thought if that cop shot goes in, it hits the crossbar. If that shot goes in and they kind of, you know, slow the momentum there, make it 3-2, I think we're having a different conversation right now, but they don't. It doesn't go in. And then to end the period, you have, you know, the 35 seconds where they score 2 more, and then it was night-night.
And that, I mean, that at 4-2, you're like, all right, you know what? You get to the locker room,
4-2. Just get out of the period. That's it.
You get a goal in the first 10 minutes to cut it to 4-3. Like, you could see a way, and they just did it. Now, they didn't overcome the entire hurdle, but in Game 3, they came back from a 4-1 deficit. So you know that's within their purview. And then those 2 goals at the end was, I mean, that was just a bloodletting is what it was.
Exactly what it was. Because you're right. They did it. I mean, that all of a sudden now, you have as bad a second period as they had, and you get out of there somehow 4-2, which means Shesterkin's not getting pulled. You just did it in Game 3. Awful first period. You scored 3 in the second period. So you know you can do it. And that's the conversation you have in the locker room. All right, fellas, we scored 1 in the first 10, And then we find a way, even if it's at, you know, last 2 minutes, we pull the goalie, we tie this thing up, and if we have to win it in overtime, we'll win it in overtime. That's the conversation that you're having. But they didn't. You know, a minute and 7 left, they give up the one to Heinen, and then, you know, 35 seconds later, they give up the one to Karloff. Another, yet another clean face-off win in the offensive zone for the Penguins.
Well, that's what you've seen all series all long, series dominating on the face-offs. And that's been a problem for the Rangers for years now at this point. Does it get more embarrassing than your coach saying this, that we played soft in this game last night?
The same you see. We got away from it. One goal, two goals, played soft. We were soft all over the ice. That's the biggest difference. We were soft all over the ice.
I mean, you tell me. You played in this league for a long time. You played hockey forever. Is there anything more in of an indictment than your coach calling you soft?
No, but I don't think that anyone could call you soft. Like, is it ever, I mean, good to be called soft in anything?
No.
Well, like, hey, Dave, you took your shirt off. You look kind of soft. That's not great.
No, there's no way that, or you know what? It's sexy time. You kind of, no, it's never good.
I'm so glad I'm not the one that went there. No, it's never good. And this is, you don't hear him say this. I haven't heard him say this all season long, but this is it. You're down 3-1. You got game 5 at home. If things are going to turn around, it has to happen now. You still have, I mean, as bad as it's been for Shesterkin and this team defensively over the last couple games, I mean, if you do want some hope, I guess look at that Edmonton, you know, LA series. Edmonton's by far, I mean, skill wise, the better team. They destroy LA in games 2 and 3, and then all of a sudden, game 4, LA comes out, plays a good game, and they end up shutting down Edmonton and winning that game. So, I mean, Rangers have done this before. They have a history of doing it. It's different players, obviously, but it has been done.
What does that mean? Because they did this years ago against Pittsburgh in Washington?
It's possible in hockey. Like, I don't think it is.
And I don't think they come back now, and I'm usually somewhat optimistic. But the positive spin I will put on this is, you know what? You have to win one road game.
That's it.
Right? You're 5-year home. If somehow you can, I mean, steal game 6, which I don't think they can, but if somehow they can steal game 6, now you're back home for game 7.
Well, that's why, but here's the thing, though. So you played really, I mean, you played well in the first 2 games at home. Not so much here in games, you know, 3 and 4 on the road. But what you have to do in game 5, and especially early in this game, you got to come out, you got to prove to yourselves that you're ready to play. Prove to Pittsburgh you're ready to play, and they're in for a fight. But, I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, chipping away at Louis Domingue's confidence a little bit. If you come out in game 5 and you put it on him and you light him up a little bit, now all of a sudden, you know, the pressure swings a little bit. Okay, now we're going into game 6, but I just got lit up at MSG, and I know if we lose game 6, I got to come back. So you start planting those seeds of doubt.
That's what you need to do.
This game 5 will tell you a lot about that group.
A lot of the character, lot of the leadership with that group will be told to you in game 5.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
You have anything important to say, or can we get to some of the calls?
I don't think that's very nice.
I'm not trying to be nice.
I currently don't have anything more important than the phone calls.
Okay, then let's get to some of these phone calls. Let's go to John in Forest Hills. John, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Rick, Dave.
you know, I'm very depressed this morning after that Ranger game, but I don't disagree with Gallant that they were playing soft, but I think Gerard Gallant was outcoached maybe, and you know, I just wanted maybe Rick get
not maybe
opinion, you know, and I thought Fox, you know, without Lindgren, he's not the same defenseman.
Well, he's not great defensively. I mean, he's better than he was, but he's not. I mean, that's not the best part of his game. He's more of an offensive defenseman. Yeah, he wasn't good last night. He wasn't, especially when you have Braun running around, and that can't be easy. I mean, once you're used to, I mean, especially when you're matching up against the other team's best.
Right. But you know what's and I want you to answer the coaching question in a second. What's so just strange to me is, like, in what other sport do you go from a healthy scratch to, okay, now you're on our top pairing? Right?
I think that's, I mean, that's just where they're at, how it fits.
But it's a weird dynamic. Like, you might think you would take, and I know it doesn't make sense, but like, take Jacob Trouba and now move him. But he's set with his defensive pairing.
Yep.
So now you take a guy that hasn't played and say, all right, go play 28 minutes a game.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, it's just with how things work is that now all of a sudden now, you know, Braun jumps up and he's with Fox. And you're asking them to go up against, you know, Sidney Crosby, who's been the best player in the series. As far as the coaching is concerned, I mean, I thought it would be an issue going into the series. I think Mike Sullivan's one of the best coaches in the NHL, and I think you're starting to see that, the reason why.
How important is coaching in hockey?
Very important. It's very important, especially this time of the year. No, you know, I thought you saw it with, you've seen it a couple different times. I think you saw it with the Toronto series. You saw a timeout taken right at the right time. They drop, going into a 5-on-3, they drop a play, and immediately the play worked, they scored. That was huge. Just matchups, getting the right matchups out there, knowing when, you know, when to take a timeout if things aren't going your way. I mean, stuff like that. I think there was some question. I know Hank during the broadcast last night questioned whether or not they should have called the timeout to regroup in the second period there a little bit. But you could tell. I mean,
yeah, he's
there
been that coach in the series in your mind?
I do. Yeah, I mean, there were times when, like, on an icing that you'd see Crosby's line right back out to get the matchup that they want. But I had Gerard Gallant as an assistant with me in the Islanders. I think he's a really good coach. I just think there's levels to it, and I think that Mike Sullivan's one of the better coaches in the NHL.
Let's go to, is this correct, RJ, sake, like the Japanese drink in Suffern?
It's sake, Dave.
It's sake, Dave. Sake's S-A-K-E, Dave. Sorry. I'm sorry. Sake, I'm sorry.
No.
That's all right.
I know.
Don't worry about it.
I know how you spell the beverage sake, but no one knows outside of you and RJ what the call screener says.
Dave's girlfriend in high school's name was Saki.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm done for today. Thank you very much.
Me too. Good, Saki. The show is yours.
All right, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I know that cannabis is legal in New York, but I don't know what you guys are smoking this morning.
No, it's him. He's a derelict.
You think the Rangers are going to show some sort of character tomorrow night and make that all good? They had a chance to show their character last night, and they lost 7-1. I mean, what are you guys kidding? Are you kidding?
All right, and enough of him. I can't even hear what he's saying.
Yeah, I couldn't hear him. What happened? It's like he all of a sudden didn't know where the speaker of the phone was.
He was like yelling into it from across the room.
No, I don't think any of us. I mean, I can't imagine any Rangers fan feels good about them coming back right now.
You don't feel good, and not once have we said we expect them to win the series. So we think that maybe they can dig deep and win Game 5 with their backs to the wall at home. Is that
at least give yourselves a chance to go back to Pittsburgh and see what happens? Right. I mean, that's it.
I would,
because there will
so.
Be some pressure because your plate. Listen, if you're Pittsburgh, you got, I don't want to say lucky just because, I mean, it depends on who you asked about that goalie interference. I still think it wasn't goalie interference, but, I mean, Rangers could have easily have won that game.
So now you're 2-2.
Now you're 2-2, but they've played well. Both those games at Madison Square Garden, Rangers have played well. So now they take care of business in Game 5. If you're the Penguins, you're saying to yourself, okay, you know, the Rangers are clearly a better team at home. We'd rather wrap this thing up right now in Game 6. So at least give yourself the chance to get to that point where you swing the pressure a little bit to Pittsburgh.
And at least where you just have one great game from your goaltender away from now you come back in your home.
Yeah, I mean, I think I keep saying this, and you agree with me. Like, they've had an amazing regular season. And you know, once the series is over, if they lose, especially if they, you know, it hasn't looked great. I mean, you're playing against Louis Domingue, you're going to feel terrible about it. You feel like it's a missed opportunity. But this is going to be the team moving forward, right? Like, I mean, this is, for the most part, going to be your team moving forward. So how they approach game five will tell you a lot about what your team is going to be moving forward.
So if you go out there and you're distraught, like you go out there and you lay an egg if you're the Rangers, what does it say? Like, would you try to make wholesale changes now because they don't have the intestinal fortitude?
No, but I mean, let's not forget, one of the things that the Rangers identified this offseason that they needed to do was add some grit, add some toughness. And that's why they brought in, and not having
Reeves.
Goudreau, not having Lindgren. Those are two really gritty guys.
They're big losses.
Sammy Blais is a gritty guy.
But Sammy Blais is a guy that they can certainly use in the postseason as well.
Mott, same thing. Those are the guys, those are playoff kind of guys. It's like this team is, you know what's funny is that, so Barry Trotz gets fired. Islanders don't make the playoffs. It's almost like the difference between the Yankees and the Mets with the great pitching staff. Remember when the Mets, just get them in and we'll see, because they're built for the playoffs. It's like,
right.
You know, Yankees are built to get themselves through the 162 and then they struggle in the postseason. Rangers overachieved in the regular season, but it's just like the Islanders are built more like their style is more conducive to the playoffs.
Because for the island, to score on the Islanders is work and effort. And it's hard.
And it's frustrating.
And to get chances against the Rangers, frankly, it's easy.
Right now, it's way too easy.
And to get golden opportunity chances against the Rangers is easy. And it's too easy. And you are leaving your goalie out to dry.
So you
consider Vasilevsky to be the premier goalie in hockey, right?
Yeah.
How many goals does he allow last night? If he's the Rangers goalie, how many goals does he allow?
Yeah, I don't think he does much better. I mean, I have a hard time believing he does much better than that. Maybe one less.
All right, so you put none or very little of the blame on Shesterkin.
Very little. I told you, the first one, I don't like how he was sliding back towards his, I know it was a tip in front, but I don't like how he was sliding back towards his, towards the net, into the net. I don't like that. And then maybe potentially the Freeman goal. Which made it 4-1, but besides that, I mean, the second one goes off of Toronto's stick, Gensel backdoor, nothing you can do about that, and then the last two, the Heinen deflection and then the Carter deflection, you know, there's nothing you can do about that.
How do you allow Gensel to be sitting?
Because you're puck staring, because you're just watching the puck, because that Gensel goal, Fox is just standing in front, watching, and Braun is running all over the place. So his D partner is running all over the place. He gets to the front of the net, and he's just standing around, not paying attention to what's behind him.
Awful.
And Gensel's just standing right behind him.
Absolutely awful.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Now, MSG Networks will continue to air every game during the Rangers' first round series against the Pittsburgh Penguins, as well as pregame and an expanded one-hour postgame show. Pregame coverage. Game 5 gets underway on MSG Network starting at 6:30 tomorrow night with puck drop at 7 o'clock. And a man who's, he was already a star, but I think this Rangers season has made him even a bigger star, and that is Steve Valiquette, who's on the MSG Network's television side of things. Steve, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thanks for waking up early with us here on DPetro, who I know you're familiar with, and Rothenberg.
Yeah, that's my- my boy. Hi, Dave. How you doing? Ricky. Good morning, fellas.
Val Vosk. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
We're not great,
Steve. Can I get a slick Rick?
You know it.
Yeah, let's get started, boys. What do you want to dig into with the Rangers?
All right, it's simple. What the hell is happening? That's my big, like, really. Like I'm not surprised that they have lost some games in this series. Steve, I am shocked that it has looked like this. What is happening?
Well, it starts in net, right? And if you go back to the start of the season, October 12th, guys, there wasn't a lot of belief. It was a very young group to start the season, a group that actually was playing like they did last night, but there was belief in the goalie because he stole a number of games, and the reputation that he built this season began in Toronto. And oftentimes in hockey, that's where your first test is under the big lights. Igor has his best game of the season in the third game of the season in Toronto, and then the belief from the team started maybe around Christmas, January 1st. They started to believe that they had a goalie, so they believed in themselves, and they started to defend harder, play better in front of him, and I felt like they really flipped the script on their season January 1st, where they went from a very loose and passive team to one that had a deep belief, a resilient group, 27 come-from-behind victories because they care. And I think they care enough, and they have a strong enough culture. They're going to win Game 5. They're going to win tomorrow. They're going to go into Pittsburgh. That's going to be the hardest game to win, which is going to be Game 6. And then you come back and have a Game 7. I don't think this looks like it's out of reach for this group, unless you relive what you did last night and you relive what you did in Game 3 over in your head and live in the past. This group has to get past the past and look forward. If they can do that, it's just a mindset. And Ricky knows as well as anybody, you get smoked in the playoffs sometimes. Does it make a difference if it's 2-1 or 7-2? A loss is a loss. But this is a young group, and you just hope that it doesn't affect them so badly that it does carry into game number 5. But it's a home game, and you get to match. And I hope Gerard Gallant matches lines a little bit because they've got to slow down Crosby. But the belief starts with Igor. If he has a very big first period, I can see this group finding a way to rally.
Yeah, but Valley, I would make the argument, I know we've talked about this a couple different times, is, yeah, I mean, your biggest advantage in this series should be the goaltending. Right, yeah, I mean, you got the guy who's going to win the Vezina, and you got, you know, spicy pork Domingue, so that should be your advantage. but Valley, the team has to allow Igor to be the best player in this series, and I don't think, especially in that second period over the last couple games too, that they've allowed him to do that with the goals that are being scored.
That's true. The really problematic thing is, how are you covering the front of your net? And broken plays, they're very difficult to defend against if you're a goalie because it's a ricochet that happens right in front of you. And Igor, during the regular season, had the second best save percentage on broken plays, ones that are out of his control. So why all of a sudden has he given 5 goals up on 16 going into last night, 3 more last night, so now he's at 8. Pittsburgh, all of Pittsburgh's goals have either been deflections or broken plays. So it's net front, and I'd imagine that what I'm seeing from Igor right now, the message from goaltending coach Benoit Allaire is going to be, Igor, you're not playing your game because you're moving too much. And if I'm talking to a young group of kids about goaltending, the difference between prep school hockey and NHL is NHL goalies move less. Now, what that means technically is that when the goalie's in their stance, instead of sliding into a save east to west, you actually set your edges, so when you make your butterfly, you just go right down to the ice. So if the puck does ricochet off something or it's deflected on the way in, you can grab your edges of your skates and push into your next save and be available. We're not seeing that from Igor. He's flying all over the place because the dams broke down and he doesn't believe that he's got any coverage in front of him, so he's trying to do more. And Ricky, you know this as much as anybody. You can't do more out there. You can't try harder to make a save. And that's what it looks like Igor's trying to do. Everybody's running out of position.
Well, you know what it's like, Valley?
Everybody's paralyzed.
Pardon Valley, you know what it's like? And me and you used to have these conversations. It's like when you play as a goalie in the AHL, and then all of a sudden you take that jump to the NHL, and you're like, wow, the NHL is actually kind of easier because everyone's in position. It looks like the Rangers are playing like an AHL defensive zone where they're just all over the place.
That's very fair. That's why it's hard to get out of the minors. And for a lot of goalies, until you learn that you have to allow the play to come to you, let it come and then track your body down towards the save, it's too busy out there. And it looks too busy out there. But, boys, I'll tell you what, this is a team that was built to get into the playoffs this year. They accomplished that. They had a terrific season. They have overachieved. I don't think this group wants to go into their off season wearing this loss this bad. I can't imagine that they don't come out and win tomorrow night. I can't even fathom it. But the one thing that's definitely hurting them is, as the team was built, Chris Drury built this team for the playoffs by stocking up during the trade deadline, but also through the season and before the season with a plan. And Sammy Blais, had he been available, this is a playoff performer. You don't have him. You don't have Mott, Lindgren, Goudreau. I mean, if you take four playoff guys, and I mean playoff guys, these are the hard guys, the guys that play PK minutes, minutes when you're tied or up by one and you need to win a faceoff, and your Rangers are getting smoked in the faceoff dot. Smoked! And the reason they're getting killed is because they're losing clean. Earlier on in the series, I thought it was on the wingers not getting in and winning some of the battles, but I mean, they're getting smoked in the faceoff dots, and they just don't have the playoff mentality right now. They think they're out there going to try and outscore their problems because Louis Domingue's in the other net, and you don't even get to him. You don't get to him. And it's hard for me to believe that when the series was 1-1, that you're going to tell me that Louis Domingue is going to beat Igor Shesterkin three games.
Well, wow. They're passing up shots, though, too, Valley. That's what drives me crazy. Like, I mean, you had Adam Fox a couple different times, like walking right down the middle. He's trying to make a pass. I mean, you're not trying to beat Vasilevsky. It's Louis Domingue, man. Shoot it.
Like, you know what's pretty nuts is everybody's packing it in for Pittsburgh. Okay, fine. That's fine. You still got to play against it. I can't believe that I'm looking at the stats before the game last night, and we're four games into the series, the overtime, and they only had eight rebound chances at that point. Like, eight rebound chances. If you look at Louis Domingue, I mean, does anybody spit out rebounds like that in the NHL? No. Like, no. They're coming off of him. They're coming off of him and out, and the Rangers, like you said, they're not shooting to create anything. I'm surprised they haven't been able to break through on this guy. They have scored goals, five goals in game two and then four goals in game three, but I don't know, guys. I mean, I'm very shocked, very disappointed last night like everybody else.
Yep. Steve Valiquette, MSG, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. I've had a lot of this today, and I will fight this fight until my last breath, Steve. And I think you'll agree, but I want your take. Had a lot of, if the Rangers lose this series in five or six or get hammered in game five, whatever the case may be, this season is a failure. And I have screamed from the rooftops, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. The fact that they came in second in their division, the fact that they were a stone's throw away from winning the division, the fact that so many guys developed, the fact that now you have a goaltender who you know is the upper echelon in the NHL. Disappointing in this series? Yes. Yes, I will agree with that. But a failed season, I think, is outrageous. What do you say about that?
No, that's ridiculous. Every team in the Metro had 100 points this year. The Pittsburgh Penguins won the division last year. This Pittsburgh Penguins team is not a pushover. They got squeezed out last year in the first round by the Islanders, and Sidney got shut down. He had 2 points in six games last year. This team, the Pittsburgh Penguins, is on their last dance. They've lost in the first round three consecutive years. They have Hall of Fame players on their roster. Crosby and Malkin, and maybe even Letang. But they've got a star nuclear warhead in Sidney Crosby. This is not a pushover team. Henrik Lundqvist had a terrific Hall of Fame 15-year career. Even in his first playoff, he was 0-3 and had a 4.4 goals against average. Igor is experiencing the big lights of the postseason for the very first time, and he is your team. He's a big piece of your belief system. Let's just call it that. So when he's going through what he's going through, what I'm seeing too, especially in game number three, it's that the team is trying to help him, and they're running out of position to do so. And in doing that, opening up more lanes, and in doing that, not being in position to get up ice and get into the scoring areas, it all reflects the overall psyche of the group because they don't have their guy right now. And if he can find a way to muster his game back together, the season's going to be in a position to be saved. I can't imagine they don't lose tomorrow night. But to say that this season is a failure, I mean, come on. How? How? This is a team that made the playoffs that nobody thought they were going to even have a sniff at the playoffs this year. They had a terrific building block season. They're having the experience now that's going to help them in the future in the playoffs. But I'd expect that they would have had more in the playoffs based on the resiliency of the group that I saw in the regular season.
Steve Aliquette joins us here on the show. Valley, last one from me. So headed into Game 5, I am making you, Steve Aliquette, the new head coach for the Rangers. What is the, you know, what is the one or two adjustments you try to make here to get this thing turned around?
Well, I think I'd start with the offense, and the first thing I have to do is I have to figure out who are my willing checkers on Crosby, because in Game 1 and 2, there wasn't a line match to be had. Gerard Gallant chose to roll, and Reeves brought a lot of energy in game number one, but there were offensive zone faceoffs in games one and two where we saw lines three and four in the offensive zone start, and then Crosby get three zones down and have you hemmed in against your weaker lines. I think what Gerard Gallant really needs is to sit down with Mika Zibanejad and his line mates, Vetrano and Kreider, and talk about how the wingers, Kreider, Vetrano, take away Gensel rust. They have to put them in a place where they can't get to the net. They have to get inside on them, and they have to clamp down on them because you have to take away Sidney's options. If you make him feel alone out there, it's hard for him to play the game. His shot's not going to scare you. Last season, you know, this past regular season, 66 shots where he had clear view with the goalie one-on-one on a shot. He had zero goals. But he will kill you on the pass, and that's what we've seen the whole series. So their line's dominating. So offensively, you have to shut that down. But I think it starts with a hard day of video with those three guys. So if I'm going to make one adjustment, I'm going to make sure that Zibanejad, Kreider, and Vetrano are back with the basics and understand the details by which they have to cover that line. So you shut down their offense that way. Then you've got to talk to your defensemen, and they have to know about their responsibilities when that line is on the ice because they have net front responsibilities. And you're going to have a long talk with Fox and Miller and Nemeth, and you're going to talk to those guys about checking your shoulders, getting under sticks, getting over sticks sometimes if you have to, boxing out, and getting back to the house, which is right in front of the goaltender. We shouldn't have any freebies in front of our net. Then you get to have Igor to have his time, and I'm telling you right now that Benoit Laire is the master goalie coach in net, and he'll have his one-on-one with Igor, and collectively when the group comes back together, they should have a better response in game number 5.
All right. Well, Steve, we hope to God that you're right. Hopefully this goes 7. Hopefully we talk to you next round. It looks bleak at the moment, but you're optimistic, and I'm sure a lot of Rangers fans appreciate hearing that this morning. Great stuff. Continue your phenomenal coverage on MSG, and hopefully we'll talk to you soon.
No quitting New York, boys. Stay positive.
There you go. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Valley.
And there you have it.
This is why Valley was such a good goalie partner.
He's terrific.
An awesome roommate, too.
I mean, you tried to take over the interview, which I understand. But
I wasn't trying to take over the interview, but I mean, I have a close personal relationship with
him.
I mean,
so it's like he's in the middle of an answer. Now you fire off another question mid-answer. Now he just continues.
Well, I was trying to, the answer was going a little bit long, so I just wanted to break it up, make it more conversational. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay, no, I see. That's like Radio 101. Yeah, just interrupt and ask another question midway through. I liked it. I think it's a novel idea. I like it.
You and this hockey show, you got real big balls right now because you got this hockey show. You feel like you're just going to start swinging and we're doing hockey interviews.
You do like, realize
God forbid
hockey show.
God forbid you sit back and let me, with a good buddy of mine, you know, kind of take control of the interview.
No, I don't want to stand. The last thing I want to do is stand in the way of you, you know, kibitzing with an old friend. That's
I have no old friend.
Why don't we get my old friends on the show?
I don't even know if we have friends. I had zero old friend conversation. This is a, you have Jordan on whenever you want. I let you run that interview.
No, I never run an interview. I give you fair clearance there. You're very involved.
Your first question, you might as well just ask one question. Valley, what went wrong? Just lay it all out for us.
He'd still be going.
How dare you?
How dare I?
You got to like how positive he is. He thinks they're going to win game five. That's good.
Yeah, he says he'd be shocked if they don't win game five. That's what I need. All right, let's get to the calls. We'll go to the three stars. Jay Will's going to join us. Mike in Queens. Good morning, Mike. You're on 98.7.
Morning. Thanks for taking my call. I was just wondering how these Rangers compare to the Knicks from last season and what can Dolan do to make sure that they don't get a similar result.
They don't compare. I understand what you're saying, but they don't compare. It's different. You're not going up against. I mean, you're going up against Pittsburgh and Sidney Crosby. You're not going up against Trey Young and the Atlanta Hawks.
Well, they have been overwhelmed in this.
It doesn't matter though, but it's different. They had. I mean, they had one option last year. I mean, Julius Randle. They shut down Julius Randle.
I will say this: regular season, both teams had a great regular season. Postseason, up to this point, it's been similar, right? The Knicks were run out, and the Rangers run out.
But that's lazy though.
But let me just continue for a second, please. The future will not be similar. The Knicks rebounded off last year with a disaster of a season, and the Rangers will not. And that's the nice thing. Even if this ends on Wednesday, this is the infancy stages of this run.
No, I know, but my point to you is that the Knicks had Julius Randle had an amazing season, and then it was okay. Shut down Julius Randle. What else do they have? They have nothing, so they get exposed. You got Shesterkin, Panarin. Kreider had 50 goals. I mean, you name it. Lafreniere's playing great. I mean, there's so much
more
talent.
The Rangers are head and shoulders a better team than the Knicks were and are.
All right.
I agree. That's don't need to harp it. We agree. All right, Santiago, I never get enough time. You got 2 minutes. So take it and make it good, would you please?
Today's three stars.
I don't think I've ever complained about the lack of time here.
Rick, has he ever complained about lack of time?
Never.
Not on this wonderful program.
And this show, DPHR Rother, presented by...
Anyway.
Number three.
I'm going to give star number three to Incarcerated Bob because he just showed up and got Dave angry.
Bob.
Bringing up the Islanders when nobody mentioned them, I think he had a little bit of a complex there. Yes, Dave, I did give him a little bit of extra time, but like I said,
a little extra time. It was like a filibuster.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Number two,
Dave, I'm going to give to you for showing up and rolling out of bed, even though like you're clearly depressed and didn't want to after the Ranger game yesterday. Although, once again, like I said in the group chat, I'm here. The least you can do is show up. It's not like you have to go far.
No, I think it would have been appropriate, and I think there would be some level of respect if I was in a hotel on a vibrating mattress right now.
If you were looking for the naked ladies or going to certain locales, which will not be named.
Excuse me, can I have 8 quarters for these 2 singles? Why? Vibrating bed. You guys would all respect it.
Number one.
With some dominoes.
Thank you, Rick, because star number one, I'm waiting with bated breath for the pizza cast. We got the thrilling news bit that all the cheese is used by
thrilling.
And then somehow it became a conversation of you're not a real New Yorker because you eat Domino's. That's not what RJ said. Then you go to some pizza out in Long Island.
Pizza.
Then when you're called on it, you say, "Oh, pizza suprema, low hanging fruit."
No, I don't say pizza suprema. I said pizza suprema. I pronounced it appropriately.
Well, you knob. The point is, you lashed out.
The three of you suck.
So that's the greater point.
Oh my god!
Honestly, the three of you guys deserve each other.
You are in one today, boy.
You know who I deserve? I'm
you
worthy.
Just called Santiago a knob.
Thursdays
if the shoe
in 2
fits,
days.
If the shoe fits.
It's not
fits.
Knob day.
Well, you know what? I tell you what.
Every day's knob day.
I'll tell you what. When we go to the morning roast on Friday morning, I'm going to attack all of you individually. But I will not attack a man that I deserve. And maybe we run off and do a show on our own. That is the great from KJM, Jay Williams. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, wow, we're running away and we're doing a show on our own, Dave? Are we just leaving Rick, Max, and Key on the sideline? What are we doing? What's the plan?
I think so.
If they want to do a pizza podcast, Jay.
How about this? They asked the question today.
Okay.
We live in, is it fair to say, you're from this area, pizza capital of the world. It doesn't get better, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We were asked, what's the better pizza, Domino's like Ilio's or
no, it wasn't Ilio's.
Pizza
it was Papa John's in
oh, whatever.
Caesars,
Papa John's is in the best pizza category. What are we talking
no,
about?
Thank you.
Okay. What are we
there's
doing?
No there's no context, Jay. RJ had a nice little nugget that he didn't realize that Little Caesars, Papa John's, and Domino's all use the same exact kind of cheese from the same place. So he brought that to the table and was like, you know what? It's an interesting question. Which one do you like better if you had to choose one of those three?
Well, why would you have to choose, Jay?
Well, we've all had it before.
Yeah, why? I wouldn't choose from really poor options. I choose nothing.
See? And that's why, Jay, that's why you, let's run away, Jay. I'll hold your hand. We'll run away.
I choose things that I want to eat, and that's none of those options there.
Thank you.
Rick, I don't understand the question. It makes no sense to me.
I'm trying to defend RJ. That's it. You guys want to run away together and do your own little pizza podcast? You guys do your bougie pizza podcast, all right?
I love the soothe jazz. The soothe jazz for you and I, Dave. This is
that's
our
right. That's what we're doing. All right. So, Jay, this is interesting. I hear there's a trade that you guys are discussing on your show that Kendrick Perkins brought up. That is Kyrie for Anthony Davis straight up. If you are the Nets, would you do that trade?
If I'm the Nets, there's no way in hell I do that trade. First off, people need to understand, Rick and Dave, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, this is like Starsky and Hutch. This is Jordan and Pippen. This is Bonnie and Clyde. Like, these two are attached at the hip. This is the relationship that we signed up for good or for worse. My thing is, look, they've gone through a lot, but if you are Sean Marks or if you are Joe Tsai and you are willing to trade Kyrie without the consent of Kevin Durant, you will lose Kevin Durant. You will lose him. People are already throwing out trades like, where would he go? Would he go to Memphis? Would he go back to Golden State? They are attached. And my thing is, people need to recognize that these two, it goes beyond basketball. So for all the stuff that happened this year with Kyrie, for all the things that pundits said about him, chastising him about the vaccine, chastising him about not liking to work, taking days off, not being there for his teammates when it matters, even the way he handled the last game, right, where he was hugging the Boston Celtics team after they lost a critical game five, Kevin Durant still didn't say anything controversial about Kyrie Irving. He's backed them the whole time. So these two are as thick as thieves. If you were to break that up, even though you may think it may be in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets, ultimately it will be in the worst interest because you will lose Kevin Durant. Can't happen.
All right. I've seen what you've two have done to me. So
that's right.
And this is how I look at Dave and my relationship. You can't break us up, Rick.
No,
doesn't matter what you do.
We are
Kyrie and KD.
Great. So, Jay, what do you have on the show today?
Do I have 10 seconds or less? Because if I don't, I don't feel comfortable answering the question.
24 seconds.
20.
Yes. What happened? What happened to your team, Rick? What happened to the Rangers?
That's not my team.
It's not his team. It's my team.
Oh,
he hates the Rangers.
Play for the Islanders, Jay.
Sorry.
Oh my! What are we doing right now?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
All right, Jay, you're out of time.
You're 20 seconds or less.
There's your 20 seconds.
I give you a
we can't wait.
About a team that isn't yours.
About
a team in New York.
Goodbye, Jay. Bye, bye. All right, Rick. And on that note, it's Rule 76.
No excuses, play like a champion. It's DPHO Rothenberg and
Jomo
on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the DPHO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.